Today on The Balanced Word from Dave Rolfe.
How would you feel? What is it that you're struggling with right now in your life? Maybe things are going bad at your job. Maybe things are going bad with your kids. Maybe things are going awful in your life and relationships. So how would you feel if you're like praying, God, please just work in this relationship? And he goes, well, you better get used to it. Because it's going to be that way for the next 70 years. And you go, I don't even think I'll live that long. Exactly. And so get used to it. Make the best of it.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and it's all to hear today.
Hey, welcome to The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolfe. Get ready for an insightful Bible story as we continue through the Bible. How do you tell the difference between a true prophet of God and a false prophet? That's actually answered for us in today's Bible story, which features two very different prophets, Jeremiah the true prophet and Hananiah the false. Let's see what we can take away from all of this. Here's Dave.
Well, now let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 28. Jeremiah was a prophet and a bullfrog, but he was primarily a prophet. And he was prophesying in one of the darkest times in the history of Israel. I see old people bending over and explaining it to young people next to them. If you were old, that would be funny. But Jeremiah, the times call for certain people to work within a time. And when Jeremiah was prophesying, 100 years or so before that, 150 years before, the northern tribes of Israel had been taken captive by the Assyrians. And now the southern kingdom had been taken captive by the Babylonians, by Nebuchadnezzar. Jeremiah was left in Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar took three different groups of people up to Babylon. The first group was the smartest, young, able people, like Daniel and his friends. They went in that first wave. And then next, they took a lot of professional people with a lot of skills. Then the third time, they took mostly manual labor people. Jeremiah was in the category of old people that they just like, never mind, we don't even want to capture you. You can stay here. So he's in Jerusalem that had been ransacked. Everything had been taken. He was with a bunch of people who nobody wanted to capture. And he was speaking for God and then sending messages up to the people who had become slaves in Babylon. So it was a rough time to speak for God. It was difficult. And he's called the weeping prophet because so often as he was sharing God's message, it was like, this is depressing. This is really sad. I'm sure it was tough to be Jeremiah, for sure. But other prophets popped up as well. And in Jeremiah 28, we see a guy named Hananiah. And he was a young, vibrant, charismatic guy who provided an alternative message to the depressing message of Jeremiah. At this point, Jeremiah had taken to wearing a yoke that would be hung on the neck of an oxen to pull a plow or a cart or something. And he's walking around with that yoke going, God has put you under the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. God, and people are like, that is getting old. Come on. So Hananiah pops up, and finally, here's a positive message. And we all like to hear positive messages. So Hananiah has this positive prophecy from God, ostensibly. And there in Jeremiah chapter 28, look what he said, beginning with verse 2. Hananiah speaks out, "Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years, I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. And I will bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah who went to Babylon, says the Lord Yahweh, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. See, they had not only captured all the best and brightest of the people, but they had also taken something even more valuable to them, all of the treasures of the temple. These were vessels that went way back to even the time of Moses, where the people donated gold and things were made for the Lord's house. They were in the tabernacle, then in the original temple. And so those things, well, you might remember the story of Hezekiah when he really foolishly, when some guys came down from Babylon, he goes, hey, you want to see something really cool? Come into my vault. Look at how rich we are. You want to come to the temple? Look at, you know, some of these gold vessels are hundreds of years old. And these guys from Babylon are like, Nebuchadnezzar at that point had no reason to go capture Jerusalem. Until the word came back about those treasures. And so they took their national heritage and captured it, and the people along with it. And so finally, Hananiah is saying a piece of good news. And these people were sick of bad news. So he has this good news. Hey, don't worry, you guys. You're only going to be there for 2 years. And then you're coming back. You're bringing all these holy dishes with you. And everybody will be back home. And within 2 years, everything is going to be awesome. That was a popular message. There were other prophets at this time who were making similar predictions. And those obviously were the popular ones. So as you read on in the chapter, Jeremiah said to them, amen. He goes, Hananiah, I hope you're right. That would be awesome. And I don't know if he said that tongue in cheek or whatever, because he knew what God had told him. But, you know, then he said, but just remember, Hananiah, in all the past, you find out if someone's a true prophet based on whether or not what they say comes to pass. So there's a 2-year clock ticking on you, and let's see what happens. Of course, if you were found to be a false prophet, they would stone you. So he's like, you got it on the line here. So, but then he goes away, and then Hananiah decides, I got another idea. And he goes to Jeremiah, and he takes the yoke off his neck. And he takes it, and he smashes it, and said, God is saying that I'm going to smash the yoke that Nebuchadnezzar has on you, and you're going to be free again. Now, that's some flair. An old depressed guy walking around with a yoke on his neck, boring. But, man, this young guy, and he's like, woo, look at this, boom, and he, you know. And so then God spoke to Jeremiah, and he said to, you know, Hananiah, he goes, you have spoken something and said it was God. And God says, I didn't say that. So you're going to die this year. And then 2 months later, he was dead. Talk about making a point. Now, on the other hand, I mean, you have Mr. Positivity with his prophecy, and now he's dead and it hasn't happened. Doesn't look like it's going to happen. And then you have the contrast, and we see it in chapter 29 of Jeremiah, the true prophet. You see the false prophet. Here's the true prophet of God. And what he says, it's not all negative. You when you think of Jeremiah 29, you probably think of verse 11. We all do. We've seen it on greeting cards and plaques and posters and everything else, where in Jeremiah 29:11, Jeremiah says, speaking for God, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Beautiful thought. When you're in a hard time, to hear God say, I have great plans for you. And it's not for bad. It's for good. You have a future. You have a hope. Don't give up. And so we cling to that verse. And when we're going through a hard time, we want to hear that like, hey, don't worry, I got a plan, it's going to be great. But we almost always ignore the first 10 verses of chapter 29. And look at what he says previous to his greeting card verse. He says, in verse 4, he begins to prophesy, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon." Here's a word from the Lord. "Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished, and seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Do you see the difference that context makes? Jeremiah tells them, they're like hearing prophets saying, this is going to be over in 2 years. This is going to be great. Hey, in 2 years, it's an election year, and everything will be fine. Instead, he goes, I got a word for you. You better settle down. Start building houses, planting vineyards, having kids. Sign your kids up for Little League. Start getting involved in city events and things like that. Because the best life you're going to have is when things go well for you in your Babylonian city. There's 70 years before I end up bringing your people back. I wouldn't want to hear that. How would you feel? What is it that you're struggling with right now in your life? Maybe things are going bad at your job. Maybe things are going bad with your kids. Maybe things are going awful in your life in relationships. So how would you feel if you're like praying, God, please just work in this relationship? And he goes, well, you better get used to it, because it's going to be that way for the next 70 years. And you go, I don't even think I'll live that long. Exactly. And so get used to it. Make the best of it. Accept the fact that this is life and you better adjust to it. I mean, if I'm really sick and I go, pray for me, and people are praying, and I'm like, okay, God. And God says, hey, don't worry. You're going to stay sick. And then one day you're not going to be sick anymore because you're going to be dead. And then it'll be great in heaven. I'm like, no, when I'm sick, I don't want you to pray that God will just take me to heaven. And I really don't want to hear that my life's going to get better and things are going to get better for my great-grandkids that aren't born yet. But that's the message that God had. That's the reality of the situation. Now, there are several things I think we learn from this. And one of them, just a glaring thing, is be really careful not to be Hananiah, not to just be running around saying, God told me this, God told me that. Sometimes God speaks to me, but I try to be really careful not to say, God told me this. I don't need to hide behind God's celebrity endorsement for what might just be my idea. I'm very cautious. I have people all the time telling me that God told them something. Almost always, I know it wasn't God. Sometimes it's something really crazy. And I think, I don't think that's God. I think that's schizophrenia. But there, sometimes we almost feel like we have to do, hey, I know that God's going to do this. But what's the collateral damage of that? People who are told I know that God's going to heal you. I believe it, and I know you'll be healed. And then they die. And then you're like, well, they got the ultimate healing. They went to... That's not what you said. You didn't say you're going to die. You said you're going to be healed. But we can offer people false hope so often. And God hates it when people claim to be speaking for him and they're really just thinking up stuff on their own. If you look through the whole Bible, you find that God's not constantly telling people where to park their car, or you know that that USC is going to win their game, or you know that the Dodgers are going to the World Series. I might believe that kind of stuff, but half the time I'm wrong, you know, and that's just life. That's just the way it is. So if I'm not preparing myself for that, I'm deluding myself. But more than that, if I involve God in my imagination, then he gets upset. That's why Moses didn't get to go to the promised land, because he told the people, God and I are mad with you. We are sick of you. And God's like, what? I'm not mad. I'm not tired of them. I understand what they're going through. So you represented me wrongly, and you can't go into the land. Now, thank God that every person who thinks they're speaking for God doesn't get killed within 2 months of doing that. But at the same time, we need to be really cautious of that. We need to make sure that what we say is, here's what I'm thinking. I don't know if it's of God or not. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. And just be honest and not misrepresent him in that way. But there are several contrasts that I see here in Jeremiah 28 and 29 between Hananiah and Jeremiah that also help me, that are informative in terms of, how do I know the difference between what God is saying and what maybe somebody else is saying? And there are some real clear distinctions here that I think that we can look at. One of the obvious things right off the bat is a false prophet will generally tell you what you want to hear. They will tell you what you're expecting, and they're affirming what your expectation is. False prophets do this. It's really easy to attract people by telling them what they want to hear. But somebody who's really speaking for God will tell you what you need to hear, and what you need to hear is what you don't want to hear. And so the last thing these people wanted to hear is, hey, dig in, make the best of it, 70 years. They don't want to hear that. But they so needed to hear that, because that was, in fact, what the case was. Well, they loved hearing Hananiah saying, don't worry, 2 years. You could take anything for 2 years. It's going to be, everything will be okay. And so we need to be cautious whenever we're listening to people and they always just tell us what we want. I sometimes say that if you're coming and hearing me teach and you never get offended, or you never hear anything that's hard to hear or that you have to wrestle with, then I'm probably failing you. Because when God speaks to you, it's often, in fact, the only way it does any good at all is when God tells you where you're wrong, when God makes you think something differently and lets you be open to something that you really don't want to hear. That's the difference. And so we can look at what we're hearing and see right away, is this making me uncomfortable? Is this challenging me? Is this what I want to hear? Paul warned in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that in the last days, there are going to be people who just collect teachers, who just are attracted to their itching ears, who just tell the people what they want to hear. And that was one of the things that he was saying was going to be awful in the last days. Now, it's only been fairly recently that people could collect teachers. Usually, if you're in one place, there was probably one person that you'd be able to listen to. But like in those days, in our day, oh, there are a lot of voices out there. And we need to be cautious to not just listen to what we want to hear. Once in a while, it's good. I mean, I like hearing people who make me feel affirmed in what I believe. But at the same time, I more need to hear people who challenge my thinking. Because my only hope is to change. And the only way I'm going to change is if somebody tells me those things that make me uncomfortable. And that's certainly the case here. And going along with that, a false prophet appeals to your selfishness. A false prophet gives you the idea that you are amazing, that you're right and everyone else is wrong. A true prophet appeals to your selflessness, talks about denying yourself like Jesus did. The true message that we need to hear is, it is not about you. But the message that we love to hear, the Hananiah message, is, it's all about you. It's about you having the best life that you can have. Other people are just sort of extras in this show that you're the star of. And so this ear-tickling stuff, this you know, egotistical sort of thing, the idea that, you know, man, once it's together, you're going to have this awesome life. That's a warning when you start hearing that kind of stuff. Now, in addition to that, you see with Hananiah, and quite often this is the case, a false prophet will often very easily build his shtick, build his ministry and message around putting down other people who are actually doing something. You know, nobody knew who Hananiah was. Everybody knew who Jeremiah was. So the opportunity for Hananiah is, I can make a big splash by coming and saying, Jeremiah, who you know is a depressed old man, and you don't need to listen to him. I'm telling you, I'm smashing the yoke that's around him. There's a new sheriff in town. This next generation has it together. It's not what these old geezers are saying. See, he built his whole thing on, look what's wrong with him. I think you have to be really cautious about listening to people who are attacking those who have been at this and who have been used by God, and all of a sudden you get a big name by going against them. You see this all the time on the internet, where somebody you never heard of writes up something on the internet and they get a ton of hits because what they're doing is attacking someone who God is using. And then they get some sort of attention and fame based on putting down someone else. When I was in seminary one time, a bunch of us students were standing around talking, and we were criticizing Billy Graham because we're going, you know, he's so compromised. He doesn't get up. There's certain things he doesn't talk about and address. And worse yet, he has liberals up on the platform with him. And you know, that's just awful. And one of my professors was listening to us as we talked, and he goes, hey, guys, I have a question for you. Oh, yeah? He said, if you go down to the pier to go fishing and you haven't caught any fish yet, and you find a guy on the end of the pier who has a whole pile of fish that he just caught, are you going to tell him how to fish? And that's the thing. Man, Jeremiah had been prophesying faithfully. If you have a message, go tell your message. Don't go interrupt what he is doing and say, my message is you're a mess. That's not what a true prophet actually does. That's a cheap way, a shortcut to try to make yourself somebody by putting down somebody else. If you know better than that guy how to do it, go do it. Don't go putting him down.
You're listening to The Balanced Word. In addition to being our teacher on the program, Dave Rolf is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We're going through the Bible right now in a series called Bible Stories. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com, or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Story series on a USB thumb drive. You'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. And we'd like to take this time to invite you to Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our Sunday morning service times are at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Again, we're at ccpacifichills.org if you'd like more information. Or if you're outside of the area, you can watch our live stream right there at ccpacifichills.org. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We've been learning how to tell the difference between a true and false prophet. Pastor Dave points to their track record as we close.
Jeremiah had a long history of faithfulness and had made prophecies that had come to pass. He had a record. He wasn't just this new kid in town. Hananiah had never accomplished anything. And I think it's important to value the voices of those who have represented God and served him faithfully and been right about stuff over a long period of time. People who even are dead, who when we look at their teaching, we just go, wow, that's, you know, you have a guy like a Spurgeon or somebody like that, and you're like, wow, this was so prophetic. This was amazing. Look at how long a person stuck with what they were doing, and their stuff holds up.
We'll come back to this message, Two Prophets, next time on The Balanced Word with Dave Roth, a daily presentation of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up.